Please join me with our prayer for illumination. Gracious God, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. Make us hungry for this, your word, so that it may nourish us today in the ways of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Amen.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes to us from the Gospel according to John, chapter 15, reading today verses 1 through 8. And as we read this together, listen for what the Word of God is saying to you in your lives, in your situation today, whatever it may be. Hear now the Word of the Lord. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So the growing season has officially begun. Are there any gardeners here? Folks who like to keep flowers or plants or vegetables, fruits, anything like that? Okay, a few of you. You can tell from the insides of your nose and the watering of your eyes that it's growing season too. The lovely coating of yellow dust all over everything that gets in there and makes it hard to sing or talk and confuses itself with, you know, COVID stuff all the time. I remember last year at the start of the pandemic, we were nervous about sending our kids to school with runny noses. Even though we knew they have seasonal allergies, every runny nose was like a marker for another massive COVID outbreak. But it is growing season. I'm sure within the next week or two, I'll try to get some tomato plants in the ground. This will be year number two of the Jacobson garden boxes. Year number one was robbed of its glory by greedy little squirrels. So we'll see how round two goes. So what I learned last year from gardening is that as the tomato plant grows, it's important to cut off early growth and to make sure that you have a single vine stalk that comes out of the ground. It's counterintuitive because that other offshoot, it looks healthy. It is healthy. And you think to yourself, I'm harming this plant by cutting it back in this way. But seasoned gardeners will tell you, and believe me, because I've looked it up and I assume that the folks on the internet know what they're talking about, is that when you cut it back, what grows through that center stalk is stronger, producing more fruit, larger fruit, and also keeping the plant from completely overtaking everything else, which is a mistake I made last year, right? I had tomatoes, and I had peppers, and I had beans, and I had some corn. And by the end, I just had tomatoes. They had overtaken everything. They're prolific. It's good. This growing idea is what Jesus has in mind with his disciples here in John 15. For John 15, and we're going to look at this over the next couple of weeks until we get to Pentecost, this is what is known as Jesus' farewell discourse. We looked at this together on Maundy Thursday as well, when Jesus washes his disciples' feet and shares with them his Last Supper in John's Gospel. It's the same conversation. He sits around with them at a table, and he knows that this is going to be the last time that he is with them before he is handed over to the Romans. He knows this. They don't know this. So he wants to make sure that they get his final instructions, that these are the most important things that he has to leave with them at this time. And so he begins this part of the discourse by saying to them, I am the true vine, and my Father is the farmer, the vine keeper. And he prunes back in order that what is left might bear fruit. And then he says to his disciples, you've been with me, you've listened to my words, and therefore you are already clean. In Greek, the word for clean and the word for prune are so close to each other that this is a play on words that Jesus is using here. He's saying, if you have been faithful to me all this time, if you've been following along with me, then the Father has already done his pruning in you. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches, and when you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can bear no fruit at all. A branch that is not connected to the vine dries out. It withers, and then it's not good for anything. It gets cut out and thrown into the fire. But what remains in me continues to be fruitful and fruitful and fruitful. What Jesus is talking about here with his disciples is the life that comes from being connected to Jesus. And somehow, even after Jesus leaves them, they are still to remain in him, abide in him. Which brings us to a good question for us here today. It's the same question the disciples were surely asking after Jesus ascended into heaven, is how can we remain in Jesus when Jesus is no longer here physically to remain with us? And the answer is found in what Jesus tells his disciples. He tells them, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. And this is where the fun happens in John's gospel, because we remember from John chapter 1, John begins this gospel with, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through the Word, all things were made. God speaks, and creation comes into being, and the Word is embodied in Jesus. And the words that he speaks are filled with that creating, creative, powerful force, this life force that comes through the vine. It's like when the water hits the soil and the sap goes from the vine out into the branches, there's this life force that goes and fills up this fruit with goodness, with tastiness. I can't wait for those tomatoes, can you? And you can tell I've already got dreams of being out on the back porch with burgers on and freshly sliced tomatoes and letting the dog go after the squirrels, right? It's goodness, it's good stuff, it's good fruit, and that is what Jesus wants his disciples to be, this gift of fruit to the world. But the truth about our world today is that while Jesus is the true vine, there are a lot of other vines that vie for our attention, that want us to attach ourselves with the promise that we are going to bear fruit. There are many philosophies, there are many weight loss plans and education plans and psychology plans and leadership plans and productivity plans, and they're all there with the promise that we are going to be, you know, skinny and strong and successful, and that we are going to, you know, wake up early in the morning and conquer the world. And when all of these things don't happen, it's not the plan's fault, it's your fault. Because you're lazy and all these different things. Does that sound like life to you? See, we look at the end of those plans and those goals and we dream of what it is to be all of those things. But it's not the true vine. The true vine does not promise us fame and fortune, to be skinny and strong and successful and all of the other things that go into what those other vines are promising us. What the true vine promises us is life and fruitfulness. It's life-giving, it's life-sustaining. So how do we abide in that vine? How do we remain connected to that vine that we might bear fruit? Well, there's only really one way, my friends. There's no getting around it. I can't sell you a 30 days to a more fabulous you. This is a life lived in abiding in God's word. It's not quick. It's not easy. And there's a lot in here that prunes us. And at first, pruning can hurt. It involves cutting. It involves cutting stuff out of our life. Stuff that looks like it might be productive. Stuff that looks like it might be fun, right? There have been times in my life, recent history, where I've been allured by those other vines, right? There's stuff for pastors out there too. Other vines that vie for our attention. Ooh, read this book, or, you know, do this thing, and you know, you'll be a better preacher, a better leader, you know, whatever that means. But if it fills up your life and takes you away from being connected to the vine, then it's not life-giving, it's life-sucking. So So if you are someone today who says, well, I would like to read my Bible more, but I just don't have the time, or I'm too busy. Well, then you're the ones who are in the most danger. If there's no room in your life for abiding in God's Word, in abiding in God's presence, in taking the time each day to eat this Word and drink in the power of prayer, you're attached to the wrong vine. And there are some things that need to be pruned out. Things that we think are life-giving, things that we think are bringing us joy. Sometimes we have to say no to things that we think are good so that we might experience something that's even better. My friends, this promise is true. Don't trust me. Trust Jesus on this one. If a person remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can't, apart from me, you can do nothing. And hear this. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. These are not words of judgment. They're not saying to you that if you don't read your Bibles, that God is going to come along and send you to hell. That's not what it means. It's just stating reality, which is that if we who claim to be disciples of Jesus Christ are not remaining in Christ, remaining deeply connected to God's Word and letting it fill us with the sap that produces good fruit, then eventually we're going to dry up. It's going to get dusty. We're going to get brittle and broken. And what's that good for? Well, it's good for producing heat for making hamburgers to throw some good fruit on. But I think I would much rather be the fruit. I would much rather bear the fruit. I want to experience this life that Jesus promises, and I hope that you do too. These words apply to whole churches as well. That a church that is deeply committed and invested in God's Word, a church that is deeply committed to being together in study and in prayer, a church that is deeply committed to attending to God's Word and allowing that Word to give us life, will bear much fruit and sometimes results in pruning. There are things that churches do that we think are good that need to be pruned off so that more energy and more can be spent toward bearing fruit in a different way. And as we come out of this pandemic, hopefully, sometime soon, there will be many opportunities for us, I hope, to gather together around food, around God's Word, to be formed by it, to be shaped by it, to begin to bear the kind of fruit for this neighborhood and this community in our world that God would have in store for us. But my friends, it takes all of us together, connected to this true vine in whom we must abide, if we are to bear fruit. So this week, your weekly challenge, if you will, is to prayerfully consider those things in your life that God, as farmer, is seeking to prune back in order that good spiritual Christian growth can grow in its place. Consider what it might look like in your life every day to spend time abiding in Christ and allowing those words of Jesus to bubble up inside of you. Living water, good fruit. Let's take a couple moments in silence now to consider that, and I'll finish that time with a prayer. Our Farmer God, we thank you for your presence in our lives and pruning us back that we might bear fruit for your kingdom. We pray for the insight this week, Lord, that as we dwell in you, that we might bear fruit in abundance. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed? People of God, what do we believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord.
Who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.